the bill under consideration, more or less to give an explanation of exactly where we are at this particular time in the interim considerations and contacts we made on the Alaska Railroad. So possibly this is your bill, Senator Dankworth, 212. If you would
give you a little history.
Give us some history on it, if you would.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 212, of course, was introduced at the early part of the last session for the purpose of setting up some type of authority or entity to operate the railroad as well as receive it as it's being transferred to Alaska from the federal government. At that time, it was generally agreed when this bill came before the committee the last time that an early passage of it had some problems of indicating to the federal government that maybe we would be just a little overly anxious to take the railroad, and it was reported to the committee, as I understand, both by the state and federal administrations, that they would prefer to pursue it without the legislation. And we did that. We didn't pursue it any further at that time. During the interim, I guess anyone can decide whether they think that was good or bad advice, but at any rate, during the interim, there seemed to be a need for somebody to kind of grab the ball and kind of go with the railroad and work with the federal delegation from the Senate side. So, of course, you appointed a subcommittee chaired by Senator Catula and myself, and or Senator Catula chaired it. I was part of that committee. And the governor appointed a representative from his office and Commissioner Ward, and the House appointed a member. And through that interim, I think there's been some confusion from time to time, and while I think we're almost pretty well in stride with one another, I don't think there's too much difference in what our opinions have all been. They've been presented at different times by different people, by different degrees, and nobody knows for sure just who is supposed to be working the final details of this negotiation out. So with that, Senate Bill 1500 in the U.S. Congress did not pass. Now, to some degree, the legislature has had some criticism, I've heard, from the federal delegation that some of the requests that we made to assure that Alaska got a fair, what we considered at least a fair shake, or those conditions which you set out when you gave your testimony before the U.S. Senator in Anchorage, when he came to take testimony, basically just saying that we wanted to make sure we knew what we were getting, we wanted a title to it, and that we wanted some assurance that we could expand the railroad. So those are the only demands that I know of any significance that were made. So now we come to the point that the Senate bill did not pass. The interest in the federal government is still there to turn the railroad over to Alaska. Apparently, we did learn an awful lot during the interim, different entities did, as to what, it's not as simple a problem as some would have you think. It's a very complicated thing. So, at least it's going to be, it brings us up kind of to this session, it's going to be my recommendation to the committee that notwithstanding anybody giving any testimony that would indicate we shouldn't, I'd like to pursue this year the passing of this Senate Bill 212 or that type of legislation. I've had my staff working in an effort to write a committee substitute which addresses a lot of the problems that we found in the interim needed to be addressed, but basically sets up a type of entity to receive the railroad. So I'm not prepared, Mr. Chairman, today to bring that substitute before the committee, but I checked and it will probably, it's being circulated through the administration and some others for their comments, and then I'll I'll have it back here and would like to present it to the committee in probably about 14 days.
All right, thank you, Senator Nagler. Senator Cotulla, you are the chairman of the Subcommittee on Railroads. I know that you'd come in the middle of Senator Dankler's offering, but did you have anything that you'd like to add as far as the interim business that the subcommittee conducted?
I just touch briefly that sometimes we work parallel, but most of the time in concert, never in any conflict. Yourself, myself, and Senator Dankworth, and apparently we came to the same conclusions as the House members and the governor. Again, we presented a united pitch to the United States administration, the Department of Transportation, and Secretary Watt and his Department of Interior. And in my opinion, the congressional delegation, the only problem we had is that our bottom line for acceptance somehow didn't find enough support with Senator Stevens, and our bottom line again was to get essentially a warranty deed. If we had all the obligations of the railroad, we certainly wanted to have all this assets, and we wanted to have a right across essentially right across those areas of federal lands that were not impacted with parks or specially designated areas for environmental purposes. Again, at this stage, DOT, federal DOT, supported that state position, which I believe was the governor's also, and also presently the U.S. Department of Interior is indeed, for the first time in history, looking into a warranty deed. Federal government never provides a warranty deed. Looking into a warranty deed, conveyance of those lands to the state, and we are under some concern at the moment, though, that we don't unleash certain guidelines in concern about they're not putting a hold on a 3E right now lands. I think that we're in good position for doing what Senator Dankworth recommends, and that is to establish an acceptance mechanism if everything falls in place and we follow essentially the guidelines of your committee as outlined early by yourself on our trip on the railroad to Fairbanks. Again, there are two points of view. This particular piece of legislation with necessary amendments to make sure that there isn't an empire self-perpetuating in a political framework that is not the type of framework that was originally intended, I think, to manage federal and state government programs. If we don't build ourselves into too much of a self-perpetuating instrument here in a port authority, a railroad authority, I would support it for conveyance. Again, I've offered several different times and may have time to offer some amendments to what Senator Dankworth comes up with. I don't know exactly what he's been working on since the beginning of the session, but I think it's a good idea that we pursue this.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you for your time.
Do you have something, Senator Goodman? As the chairman of the Transportation Committee, I've been working on the more or less the physical end in Alaska. Looked at the physical plant, rode the train back and forth, and talked to the employees, talked to the manager, and I've apprised everybody of what my findings have been. I believe that there seems to be some slight disagreements between the Alaska state legislative delegation and the administration, but most of those worked out. Commissioner, did you you have anything to add to that as far as, do you agree that our body has been working more or less in concert and in agreement with the ideas expressed by the governor as far as the railroad is concerned?
Yes, I think that's a fair statement. There have been some slight disagreements as to how to get to where we're going, but sure. I think everybody wants to eventually wind up the same place.
And I think our end objective is the same. And Representative Bettisworth, you've been following fairly closely. You know just about what we've been doing in the Senate side.
Yeah, I've been well informed by Senator Dankworth, and I'm in complete agreement with the direction he wants to take and the end result for all that.
There's no use of covering it up because it's going to come out. It has come out in two or three times. There is the thought that perhaps we are in disagreement with our congressional delegation. Perhaps we are as far as mechanics. I don't think that we are too much in disagreement in that we do want to take the railroad, and our senatorial delegation wants to see that we get the railroad. How we arrive at there and just exactly what consists of the railroad is what our disagreement is, I believe. Is that a fair statement, gentlemen?
Yes, Senator Ray, both the Federal Department of Transportation and Department of Interior, again, within 10 minutes after we left, Secretary Watt, Drew Lewis was called, which was exactly what we were told to do the first time. If we could get those two together, we were told much of this could be resolved. Now, Senator Stevens is a powerful United States Senator in a very important position and in a position to do a certain amount of service to the present administration, so he's in a position to have a lot of input. But the point is, again, neither of these very important departments of government argued with the one thing that was very important to us, that all the assets of the railroad, 99.9% of them, would go to the state of Alaska if it accepted certain liabilities. And in fact, Secretary Watt's original statement to us was, well, of course, that's reasonable. And then Secretary Horn let him know, or Assistant Secretary Horn did let him know, that there was a Section 3E that might provide some problems. I personally have taken upon myself to talk to the leading filer of claims against the railroad, the Cook Inlet Group. I believe they have the most. I think they're very willing to get away from that myself. Maybe a little bit of stuff at Hurricane or something, but in my opinion, they have so much business to do with the state that they do not want to aggravate a negotiating position on other things by bringing this up.
Well, it's nothing is ever settled. Sometimes you rush into things and you find that you have problems later on. But I think that, by and large, that all of the parties concerned are headed in the same direction. And as the commissioner so finely put it, we might not be all riding the same vehicle, but hopefully our destination will be the same and the cost will be the same. Senator Dankworth, I might, just in the privilege of the chairman here and watching the administration vetoes, I might suggest to you on the appointment and composition of the board that you relegate the Commissioner of Transportation and Public Facilities as an ex officio member, non-voting, and enlarge it to 7 public members. Also in subsection B, the public members appointed to the board, we've defined them as bankers, attorneys, economists. I think that we should water that down and suggest that these be, because it is, the governor has taken exception to the legislature upon the advice of the attorney general, and that we are mandating, or we are slopping over into the administrative branch and telling him who to put on boards and who to put on commissions, and that's not a legislative duty. So perhaps you might, this is a suggestion,
well,
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, I'll do that. I of course, we can debate that when the substitute comes up about whether the legislature can set qualifications. for committees, I think some of the authorities we have, some of the things we do, one of the reasons they don't work is they turn out to be a bunch of political hacks with no qualifications, and I think we could set qualifications, but I know exactly what you're saying, and what we thought we'd do on this substitute, which frankly was worked on and recommended to us by our attorneys that worked on the South Dakota Railroad Authority and all the others, it's not ours. They have prepared one, and it's going to take a number of things, including the appointment of how we want to set up that authority. They'll have to be massaged here in the committee when we get it in here. I would anticipate, as Senator Tula says, there'll probably be a number of changes in it. But I think it would give us a good working document to draw up the final.
Well, is it, the only reason that I brought that up is that we had to override the governor's veto, and I guess we're prepared to do it again if necessary, but I thought perhaps in the interest of harmony.
I'm hoping that we can get his concurrence and how it's set up before we leave.
That was the idea. Is there any public testimony? Commissioner, did you have something you want to say?
Just a couple of comments. We did do...
Please identify yourself, sir.
Bob Ward, Commissioner of Transportation and Public Facilities. We did just update the fiscal note on Senator 12, which was easy, just put a percentage factor in. But I don't know whether you need that or not. But
sure.
Also, and I just got a copy of the proposed bill sent down from Jesse, and I didn't know what the format was, and Senator Dankworth has enlightened me on that, but it might be worthwhile to make a couple comments. Number one, the governor has no problem. Matter of fact, probably the preferred mechanism to work with that bill rather than monkey with one of his own. And so we're in complete agreement on that. There's a couple of areas that I'd like to see addressed a little. Number one, I think it's unfortunate that an authority gets created, like the Power Authority, for example, or any other that we might mention. And all of a sudden they're there to operate, and they have the mechanism to acquire capital, but they have no experience in the bond market. Money is, so it's more difficult for them to access the market. I would like to see, at least for your discussion, that some enabling legislation take place concurrently with this that triggers the start of or the effective date of the authority when legislation that deals with the transfer, state legislation, is passed, and that provide a vehicle to take care of some deferred maintenance. In other words, so that the first act that the railroad authority has is not to have to go to the market to get money to pick up deferred maintenance. Because I think it's a strike against a brand new authority to have to face that kind of obligation right off the bat. And that's one that might be worth looking at. Also, I didn't notice, and perhaps someone that would read it a little more astutely than I might think it was provided for, I didn't notice enough provision in there so that the authority would have the option to contract with private authority for the management of it if they so chose. Now it says to provide for operation of the railroad, but I think it could be a little bit more specific there that it would have the authority to contract with private enterprise for the operation of it. And also, I don't know, maybe there might want to be some provision in there for to make it under the Executive Budget Act. It's not now, I don't know whether you want it or not, but it might be worth consideration.
Any questions from any committee members? Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any other persons from the public who would like to give testimony on this bill? If not, then Senator Dankworth will, I suppose that probably the subcommittee on the railroad should.
I'll work with that. Mr. Work Price. His introduction, I have a different
That's
point of view
you,
for
Senator.
It, but I don't argue hard on it.
Very good.
Well, that will make me the deciding voter, isn't it?
Let me have the draft of the committee substitute drafted, and then I'll hand it out to the crowd to kind of introduce and make sure everybody has a chance to feel comfortable with it.
There is another matter, I have a, been, I have been requested by the president of Boeing to, for the membership of the Transportation Committee to meet with him in Seattle, possibly around the 1st of February. And the reason for, I suppose, is that to get us all together at one time and discuss some of the problems.
Super lighter train?
They're gonna have a combination, it's called a hydro train.
Goes from here to Seward on the track to Fairbanks.
Well, back and forth, and it goes at high water, low water, whatever it is. But as soon as we have that finalized, I'll tell you at the earliest opportunity.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
The reason for meeting in Seattle is so that they have all of their people there, and so we can hear what they're talking about, and for them to bring who they would think it would be advisable would be 4 or 5 trips back and forth. And,
Senator Dankworth is pursuing the accepting, enabling legislation, acceptance legislation management, if in fact the Congress acts on transfer of the railroad, which I believe it will. The part that I've been playing since the 2 weeks before the session, month before the session, whatever it is, keeping contact with the Department of Interior on the lands issue and the corridor issues. I've learned a great deal about it, and as a matter of fact, they wish to be quite cooperative with us, including the fact that we can apply now for corridors that we may wish to exercise our option and use of some 15 or 20 years from now. And that's something we ought to, and we are, about administration, John Katz and so on, will be about looking into and continuing. So I thought, and he did, thought that under, what is it, Title 11, that you didn't have much, you needed to have a use and implement that track laying very shortly after application. The fact that is not true, so.
Offhand.
Under this administration, we can do a lot.
And you're, either you or Senator Dankworth, did you identify a deferred maintenance figure? I was told at one time between 50 and 250 million, depending on what you wanted to do. Is that just about right, Commissioner?
Well, also, one of the more recent numbers was, I think, 50 to 70 million, but I would expect that maybe that I would doubt that it would be more than 100 million, but I would think probably around 70 million.
Are we counting OSHA in there?
Pardon?
Are we counting the OSHA factor in there?
Well, our simple answer to that question is no. We were hoping for a deferral of having to accept the regular OSHA standards. According to the railroad, they kind of had their own OSHA, but we would hope that in the transfer that there would be a transition period in there 5 years or so before that they would have to comply with the regular OSHA standards.
I think it's also proper to state that the Alaska Railroad, per se, if operated on a 10-year contingency starting today and operating for 10 years, you could say that it is not a particular time, and if it runs at the same level of operation on the same track, that it is not a money-making proposition. It is a, even though the reports as put out by the managing director of the Alaska Railroad indicate that there is a $2 or $3 million profit in the black, that is not correct, because they have not used that to offset the deferred maintenance and the rest of things.
Yeah, I think they're taking current expenses, including debt service, but they're not projecting any additional capital requirements in that. So
the only reason I'm bringing this up is that there are a lot of, you know, a person who is not familiar with what's going on and doesn't have all of the picture, or well, certainly we don't yet, but we're getting these pieces that they're putting it out. This is a wonderful thing that the Alaska Railroad is making money, and the states would jump right in there and snatch it up and make that, all that extra money. Well, that isn't the case at all. Is that a correct assumption?
I think you're right. I don't think it's ever made any money. It's a situation like much of the other transportation, though. It's
right.
Something for our future and somewhat for our present.
Yep.
we don't get certain things transferred to the state of Alaska will make a Thunder a lot less.
Well, that's
right. You pay for the gravel and lose your rentals. Why, you're going to lose a hell of a lot.
And Mr. Chairman, also the freight service has been combined with the passenger service and the accounting, and the passenger service is a
flat total loss.
No way that's going to be a money-making proposition. I think the freight service could probably handle it on its own, but the passenger service is a real drain.
Okay. Are there any other questions or any other comments?
One bottom line that you looked into, we were told by the person that says he's transferred more railroad than any man in the world. And he's the head of the Alaska Railroad in DOT. He said, there's never been a transfer, there's never been anything that's existed unless the unions were involved and satisfied. He said, he just told us right over.
I think that the my meetings with the union, of course, were just preliminary, and as such, it indicated that they were they had some serious problems, but problems that could be resolved. I think that the transfer of federal time to the state and the state's obligation picking up the retirement, there would be some inconsistencies. By and large, I think that over a two-year period, that it might. That you could stamp them out there or get them into line so that it would be agreeable with everybody. And then that would be fair to them, and that would give them, them meaning the federal employees, the opportunity to opt in or out or whatever. We would have the guidelines and whatever set up that they would have, and they would know. So we'd give them the opportunity and be a little different than Patco, you know, I suppose. Do you have anything, Mr. Vice Chairman?
No. I guess we've got another meeting.
All right, thank you very much. The Transportation Committee stands adjourned.
What meeting is it? We have now.
Did you get a percentage in all these clocks? There's clocks every place. Hey, none of them are on time.
Man, I take neither the credit nor the responsibility.
What meetings we have now?